And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Today we're going to be discussing, maybe more than discussing, who knows, I might do a little ranting and raving, or I might laugh even. You never know about this volume. This is volume 246 of Secrets. You know, what I do in Secrets is pull some stuff out of my files, you know, things that they could make their own program, make a whole program out of any one of these topics. But it's more fun just to hit on the main, you know, ideas and headlines. There's sort of like headlines, you know, you get. And it's so much fun to see the headlines today. You know, I go online every morning when I get up in the morning. I'm still sort of sleepy headed. And sometimes I get a cup of coffee and sometimes I don't. Sometimes I go straight to the computer and I look at all the news items. I go to Drudge Report online. Then I go to Breitbart. Then I go to WorldNet Daily. I hit them all. Then I hit Newsmax, Infowars, Rents.com, Circa.com, HeatStreet.com, ZeroHedges.com. So I've read about, you might say, the equivalent of about 20 newspapers. And sometimes I'll go on FoxNews.com and some of the others. And I get a sort of a gist of what they're all saying. And it's fun to see that, to see what some are reporting and some are not. For example, recently this thing on Susan Rice. Now, you know, several weeks ago, our president, President Donald Trump, tweeted. He's a good tweeter. I'll say that for him. And he seems to get people all shook up when he tweets. I mean, they just go wild. And it makes it a lot of fun. I mean, I don't read his tweets that much. I just, you know, sometimes see them. But when I do read them, it's great fun because, I mean, the liberal left press goes absolutely wild. I mean, they're just nuts over them. And there was this one about, he said, it's terrible that his predecessor, Obama, wiretapped the Trump Towers and the Trump team. He said they wiretapped me. Well, you know what wiretapping is. Wiretapping is any time they get you electronically. It can be your phone, can be your fax machine, it can be anything at all. They can put a wire, so to speak, a microphone in your office, in the wall, in the bed, in your pillow. I mean, who knows where? They can survey you with a little camera in a motel room. Whatever way they want to use, get you electronically, or, you know, even by human beings. Just humans watching you with a pair of binoculars. That's what he meant by wiretapping. Of course, he was just savaged. And the liberal press said, ooh, he lied. Trump is a big liar. Why President Obama would never do that. He President Obama's he's a saint. I mean, he's a man who dresses in white. He's sent from God. He's the Messiah. Of course, they didn't. I told you I'd go in a little bit of a rant. They almost said those things, didn't they? Sure they did. Almost. Not exactly. But it's the same situation. Now, but Trump stuck to his guns, and pretty soon things started breaking. First, there was Chairman David Nunes of the House Intelligence Committee, and he said, well, I went over to the White House, and guess what? They showed me some tapes and some transcripts. I visited the National Security Office there, and they showed me some things that seemed to indicate that, yeah, he was, you know, basically surveyed. He called it surveyed. Okay. The Trump administration was surveyed by Obama. Now, of course, they just savaged Nunes then. You should resign. You're taking Trump's side. Oh, it's terrible, Nunes. You're a horrible chairman of the House Intelligence Committee. Oh, he caught the fire from the liberal left. And every night they would have stories on about how somehow or other Trump had secret relations. He's been colluding with Russia. Now, it seems that you would want, our president to collude with Russia. I would like that. But what they meant was they said Russia is running America. Putin, behind the walls of the Kremlin, he's reaching out and he's got Trump, by the yin yang or whatever you're going to call it. I don't know but he's got him and he's making him do whatever he wants. Trump is Putin's man. He works for Putin. He's a spy for the Russians. And of course, when you ask for evidence, it's, oh, well, 17 intelligence agents said it. 17 intelligence agencies, that is, said it. Well, 17 intelligence agencies. Okay. So 17 intelligence agents said they got together and they said this, that Trump and Putin colluded, conspired, got together, did terrible things against America. Well, the problem is they had not one shred of evidence, no proof whatsoever. They kept saying it over and over and over. Russia is colluding with America, with Trump. Oh, it's treason against America. Oh, but they never gave proof of it. Russia did this. Russia did that. Putin is the world's greatest manipulator. Putin, you better watch him. He's got America. He's got us by the crosshairs. He's got us by he's holding us up by the throat. He's got Trump in his grip. But the one thing they never came out with was proof. Now, what they did was substitute the name, or let's just say they used this as their guide. The Democrats said, 17 intelligence agencies told us this. Well, that's not true. The 17 agencies said they never found anything like that. They checked out things for about a year. They never found one thing about Trump and Russia. Not one thing. Nevertheless, 17 intelligence agencies tell us that Trump is colluding with Russia. Oh, my. Donna Brazile, the former campaign manager for Hillary, the one that gave her the snuck the debate questions to her. Then she lied and said, I didn't do that. I would never do that. And she told the Fox reporter, I'm not going to be crucified. I know I'm a black woman, but I'm a Christian. I'm not lying. I never filched and secretly gave the questions to Hillary. I won't be crucified now. Well, now she says, yes, she did it. She lied. She did give Hillary the debate questions, but she did it because Russia made her do it. Now, I'm trying to figure that out. Donna Brazile says, she's a big old lesbian hag. But Donna Brazile says, Russia made her do it. It seems like Russia's doing everything today. Putin is just a little man. He's probably shorter than... He's shorter than, than Tom Cruise, probably. But people are making him out to be a giant. And, he's sneaky. He's got Trump. Trump will do whatever he wants him to do. He's like a puppet. I want proof of that. Give me one shred of evidence. Well, 17 intelligence agencies said it. No, they didn't. They didn't. But how would 17 agencies know anyway? How would they all know? They all got different evidences. They must have different stories. They must have different facts. Each one must have been, centering in on some kind of a different a fact set. 17. Did you know that one of the 17 is the Coast Guard? That's right, the Coast Guard. The Coast Guard knows Putin. They've got all the evidence, the Coast Guard intelligence. Come on, folks. The National Reconnaissance Office is one of the 17. And they get their their proof from satellites. The satellites saw them down below working together. I don't know how they did that, but anyway, I'm making all this up. But you have to make it up because the Democrats have been making it up for almost a year now. And actually, a lot of people say, I'm so tired of that Russian story. I'm not tired of it. I enjoy it. I love to see them twisting slowly in the wind. The Democrat politicians, you know, the left wingers and the news, the fake news groups like, you know, Washington Post, New York Times, and of course there's the CNN and MSNBC and ABC and CBS. All of these are fake news outfits. And they've been making up this Russian story for about a year. Now suddenly Trump comes out with his story about being surveyed, being wiretapped, and they go crazy. That cannot be true. No, we're going to get you on the Russian story. Now you don't bring in something else here. No, come on. We want everybody to remain clear on this is Russia versus America. Russia and Trump versus America. Putin and Trump versus America. We don't want this other story about Obama wiretapping the president-elect and his transition team. We don't want any of that stuff in there. Well, unfortunately, it's got in there, folks. It's in there. Now, it seems that after slaughtering the president and demanding evidence for his statement or his tweet that he was watched over by the spied on, let's just say, by Obama, it turns out it's all true. David Nunes says, yeah, it's true. I've got the information on it. Then Adam Schiff, he's a Jew who's on the Intelligence Committee. He's a ranking Democrat. You know what that means. He's the left-wing expert there. He's the one been drumming up all this Russian stuff for so long and without any proof. So Trump invited him to the White House, Adam Schiff, the congressman, the Democrat, to see the evidence that Trump has been surveyed, that is wiretapped, electronically watched over, spied on. Let's just call it spy on. In the old days, we used to talk about spying. Okay, spied on. And Adam Schiff came over to the White House, saw all the evidence, and he's shut up now. Yep, they did it. Yeah, they did it. Obama did it. I better keep quiet about it. Well, Mr. Schiff, what about the Russia story? There's no proof of that. You said there's no proof of that? Yeah, there's no proof of that. He backed up, didn't he? He's backing up, boy. They're forgetting all about it. They don't want the committee to investigate. See, the committee says, okay, we're going to investigate the Russia story. We're going to see if there's any evidence here. We don't know of any, but we're going to check it out. And then the committee says, oh, by the way, we're also going to check out this wiretapping of Trump. Uh-oh. It looked like it backfired for the Democrats, didn't it? It backfired. They're going on two tracks there. One is the Russia story. The second is the wiretapping of Trump story. Now, the Russia story is not true. The wiretapping of Trump is absolutely the truth. And therein causes a problem for the Democrats. Boy, they stepped right in it, didn't they? They're really getting it. Now, let's look at this. I mean, we already knew they're liars. Well, let me just go straight to one of the main perpetrators. It appears that Susan Rice, the black woman, who with no qualifications whatsoever was made the head of the National Security Agency. Think of that. They brought in this woman who has no qualifications at all, some woman. She's never been a military general. She's never been ambassador to Singapore or Haiti or whatever. They made her National Security Agency head. And she's the one that's been surveying. She's the one that signed the documents that gave permission. She also signed the documents that gave permission for the intelligence agents to release this information. And then evidently she gave the permission for somebody to leak it to the press. Of course, she's saying, I know nothing about nothing. She's like Sergeant Schultz. Remember him? Hogan's Heroes. I know nothing. I know nothing. But then after saying, I know nothing, 2 weeks later, she comes back and says, well, I do know some things. Yeah, I did. I got information about Trump. But, you know, I did it for the good of America. Why? She says, why? She was asked. Well, you know, she can't tell you. It's classified. Oh, yeah. Well, Chairman Nunes of the House Intelligence Committee said it's not about Russia at all. And the pace of getting all this information in and surveying the transition team increased all the way after the election, all the way up to the day Obama left the White House. I mean, they're really busy. Boy, they were trying to get all the information they could. But it wasn't about Russia. It wasn't even about Russia. They admit that. What was it about? Well, evidently, Nunes says it was nothing to do with national security. Now, that's the only way that they could say that it was legal, if it was for national security. But then they couldn't go and survey all of his people, all the transition members, all the new people coming in, but they did. They say that there's thousands of pages of transcripts. It seems that Obama was getting everything. And guess what? He gave it all to Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton started tweeting things she wasn't even supposed to know. Well, she had been out of the White House for a year. She had not been the Secretary of State for a year, but suddenly she had all these classified documents. Now, that's one of the reasons why she wouldn't want you to have her computers, isn't it? They were sending over all those classified documents on Trump to her so she could, you know, have opposition research, they call it, opposition research. She could have all this dirt or anything. Of course, a lot of it was just simply stupid stuff, like the stuff about the prostitutes in Moscow. And frankly, Trump, it turns out, has never been to Moscow. But they said they caught him in a hotel with a bunch of prostitutes. But he's never been to Moscow. So it turns out, well, it was just fake news. Now, Susan Rice was the one doing all this fake news. She's also the one that lied about Benghazi. When the Benghazi attack and the American ambassador died and was attacked, and the American ambassador died there, they had to make up a story because they didn't want the Americans to think that, well, our actions in Libya caused the Libyan people to get pretty angry at us. I mean, they wanted to make it look like they were heroes. The United States was a hero for overthrowing Gaddafi. We went in and we actually, it was our terrorists that overthrew Gaddafi. And we wanted the American people to salute and say, great job, Hillary. Great job, Obama. You got rid of Gaddafi. But then Benghazi came up and there they were. Our ambassador was holed up there and they were burning the place down. They killed him and several other people. The Libyans did that. Weren't they supposed to be on our side? Weren't they supposed to be happy that we had overthrown their leader? They weren't happy with us, you mean? Now, it turns out, by the way, this is a long story, but I have to tell you about it. Gaddafi was one of the most liked, most respected, most admired of all the leaders in the Arab world. The people of Libya loved the guy. He had so much money coming in oil there in Libya that he told the people of Libya, if you want a college education, we'll pay for it. The government paid for their college education. Wow. I think we're doing a lot of the same thing there. It seems like the millennials are getting free education now and getting tens of thousands of dollars to go to college that they'll never pay back. Well, Gaddafi told his people, you're going to have a free education all the way through university level. Then he told them, I'm going to give you free medical care. Free medical care. Wow. Then he said, I'm going to have sort of like our Social Security. He was giving every old person in Libya a stipend so they could live. Well, no wonder he was so popular. He's giving everything free because he had a lot of gold and a lot of oil. Now, it seems that Libya had been, well, they've been storing up gold for a long time. They sell the oil, they get gold. And reliable sources say that Gaddafi had stored up 143 tons of gold. That's incredible. 143 tons? I don't even know if that's true or not, but evidently the intelligence sources say it is. Of course, they also said that 19 Arabs led by a some nut in a cave thousands of miles away did 9/11. So I don't know if we should trust our intelligence. But anyway, that's one of the reasons they went in and they got Gaddafi. They wanted all that gold. He had been storing up. Now, the crazy thing is that gold's missing now. Maybe that's one of the, those people were angry. You Americans and Europeans came in and killed our leader who was giving us all this free stuff. You killed Gaddafi, and then you took all our gold. Now I ask you a question, my friends. Who's got the gold today? Who has that 143 tons of gold? I mean, there's somebody out there super rich. That's billions, billions of dollars in gold. Has Obama got it? Did the premier, president that is of France, Sarkozy, did he get it? Did Hillary get her little, you know, ham hocks on some gold? Maybe. I bet she did. She said about Gaddafi, she said, ha ha ha. She laughed. We came, we saw, he died. And she laughed about it. That's when I knew, I already really knew, but that's when it confirmed to me that she was a psychopath. She's a psychopath. Well, in any case, Susan Rice, the national security advisor, she lied about Benghazi, went on all the TV networks and said that the Libyans, they're happy with getting rid of Gaddafi, but they got angry about a little a video on YouTube. Yes, they got angry over a video on YouTube, a video that was a Muslim. They got mad about it. Now, folks, the Arab peoples, come on. They barely even know about YouTube. No, there's not some little video that's going to get them mad. So they made all this story up. Of course, it was later exposed as a lie, and she's a liar. You know, they all are. And of course, Obama's been gone. Have you noticed that, folks? Trump has been in office now about 100 days, 90 some odd days? And we haven't seen the shining face of Barack Obama. He's been gone. They say he was over in Thailand on the beaches there. They say he was in Hawaii. He was sighted in Tahiti. I mean, the guy, he's vacationing. But they say that Michelle is not always with him. Wow. A lot of people go on sex vacations to Thailand. You know, I spent 2 years in Thailand. I know what kind of country that is. I was 2 years there in the Air Force. But they say that Obama hasn't shown his face in the 100 days. It seems that he doesn't want to be answered or ask any questions, doesn't it? He wants to stay out of the limelight, boy. He knows. Now, I want to talk to you about this. This is the first president I've ever known that spied on his successor. For a whole year, he's been spying on his successor. Even after he got into president, he kept spying on him with the Obama leftovers. I call them the hangovers. Boy, it's just amazing, isn't it? Now, the top culprits in the Obama White House were Susan Rice. She's been called by one of the U.S. senators as the Typhoid Mary. Typhoid Mary of the Obama administration. Then there's Valerie Jarrett. And then there's a guy named Ben Rhodes, R-H-O-D-E-S, and Obama. Those are the four main culprits. Susan Rice, Valerie Jarrett, Ben Rhodes, and, of course, Obama. It seems they all had this information. In fact, Susan Rice did it at Obama's request, no doubt about that. And it was said on January the 20th, she gave him a compilation of all of the intelligence they had learned, all the opposition research they had learned by wiretapping and surveying the Trump administration. Thousands of pages she gave it to him. I suppose he's over in Tahiti or Thailand right now reading those transcripts. Don't you think, friends? Now the FBI, Mr. Comey, and the National Security Agency's Admiral Rogers both went to Congress and they both lied. No, we don't know anything about surveying or wiretapping of President Trump or President-elect Trump. We don't know a thing about anything like that. No, we don't know anything. Just like Susan Rice, they said, we know nothing. You know, the old Sergeant Schultz, we know nothing. But they lied. Now, Mr. Clapper, what a name, huh? Mr. Clapper, the Director of National Intelligence, right before he left office, he also lied. I don't know anything about that. No. He wasn't wiretapped. No, it's not true. He lied. The head of the CIA then, he lied. That's why we can't trust the FBI, the CIA, and the National Security Agency. They're all a bunch of liars. And they lied. And Comey and Rogers even lied to Congress. Now, they ought to be stretched. You know what I mean by stretched? That means their necks. They ought to be tried in a trial. And they're going to be found guilty because they lied to our faces. And now Susan Rice admits what she's done, but she says, I did it for the good of America. Has nothing to do with politics. Oh, boy. If you believe that, I want to enter you in a Hostess cupcake eating contest. But you have to eat about 10,000 to win. All at once, of course. I tried it one time. I only got to 9,999. I couldn't go over the top. But Susan Rice, she's a bigger liar. She's got a bigger mouth than I do. So she'd probably make it. Now, this is the deal. These stories are going to, it's all going to come out because Trump's finding all this information out. You know, they're so incompetent. Obama left all these clues. He left all these things around. There's also, by the way, a Dr. Farkas. What a name. F-A-R-K-A-S. She was at the Defense Department, and she was also, and she even admitted it on the Scarborough's and Micah Brzezinski's show. Yeah, we were doing intelligence and getting intelligence and we gave it, we tried to give it fast to the Hill, that means to this congressman, to our Democrat friends in Congress. We wanted to give it to them before we left office. Well, she admitted they had done everything. So Dr. Farkas, some young little twerp, shouldn't have been in her office either at the Pentagon. She's admitted it. Susan Rice has admitted it. Obama, come on, bring him back. Bring him back. He'll lie, of course. Remember he said the IRS didn't target Christian groups? They didn't target Tea Party groups? There's not a smidgen of evidence, I think he said, didn't he? Not a smidgen. My goodness, there was a whole battleship full of evidence. But he's a big liar. Obama's a big liar. Folks, I want to tell you my theory. It's not theory, actually. It's scientific. Anyone who is pro-abortion, they will lie. Anyone, everyone who is pro-abortion are a bunch of unmitigated liars. They're murderers. If they murder, they'll lie. Don't you know that? Obama was for partial birth abortion. He voted for it over and over. He'd lie in a second about anything. Susan Rice, Valerie Jarrett, all of them, they're all pro-abortion. They're all a bunch of baby killers, and they're liars. That's sort of how I gauge them. If you're pro-abortion, you're a filthy, dirty, rotten liar. It has to be, or they wouldn't be for killing little babies. Well, we're going to have much more when we come back on the other side. Oh, we've got so much more. I mean, immigration. The snake is Messiah. We're still on that. And then we're going to talk about a lot of weird stuff. Weird stuff. Ooh. Got a new book. It's called Weird Stuff. I'll be right back. I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Secrets, Volume 246. Hello, friends. Tex Mars again here. You know, It seems the World Zionist Congress has just got it in for me. I mean, they're really mad. They call me a notorious anti-Semite. Now, I don't think that's true, but that's what they call me. The World Zionist Congress told Amazon, Tex Mars is a notorious anti-Semite. Now, it has something to do with this book, that Amazon went right along with World Zionist Congress and banned. It's my book. Now, I've written, I don't know, 60 books or so. This is really one of my favorite books, but they banned it. But you know, it didn't make me mad at all. In fact, I sort of laughed about it. Now, you may think it's strange for me to laugh about the fact they banned. Isn't that going to cost me sales? Well, I've got a theory about that. My theories are always scientific. They're really facts. But I say they're theory because, you know, people, they like that. They like for you to be a conspiracy theorist. Of course, I'm very scientific. I've always been scientific. But I have sort of fun at baiting people and saying, yes, I'm a conspiracy theorist. You know, what are you going to do about it? Ooh. Oh, and then they sort of slink. They sort of treat me like a vampire, you know, and they slink away. They're scared. I'm like Bela Lugosi or something. Or Boris Karloff. I don't know. Well, if you're not old folks like me, you probably don't know who those people were. Boris Karloff and Bela Lugosi. But anyway, they're from the old, you know, the horror flicks, the monster movies and so forth. But they're sort of the campy kind of people. You know, you just go see those movies. They really don't scare you, but they're fun. Well, in any case, I'm about to get off target here. It seems that the World Zionist Congress, they're sort of treating me like Bela Lugosi and Boris Karloff. Now, why is that? Why do they call me a notorious anti-Semite? Now, let me give you my theory on this, my scientific fact. Power of Prophecy Ministries is a civil rights organization. You say, what? That's right. Just like the NAACP, just like ACLU, just like all of those groups, we're just like them in a way. But you see, we're Christian. We believe in Jesus Christ. We believe in truth. And therefore, we tell the truth. Now, the thing is, they say we, you know, are going to be against anti-Semitism, against people who are white supremacists and all that kind of stuff. Now, you know, I don't worry about those kind of labels. You see, I'm for all. I'm for all the people in the world. I believe that Jesus Christ came so that we could live. You know, Jesus himself said, fear not he who can kill the body. Think about that, folks. Fear not he who can kill the body, but fear him who can kill the soul. Who can take your soul? Well, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, if you reject him as Lord and Savior, it says in the Bible, Jesus himself said, the devil's got your soul. The devil, your soul has been turned over to the devil for destruction. Now, I want to see everybody live. Now, you know, white supremacists send me letters all the time. And black supremacists send me letters all the time. And Muslims send me letters all the time. And New Agers send me letters all the time. And I reject all of them. And, of course, the Jews are sending me hot letters all the time. I reject all of them. Because to me, Jesus said, whosoever will may come. Listen, friends, you're listening to me here on Power of Prophecy Radio, on, you know, WWCR Radio, going across the world, on the Internet. I'm on the Internet, my radio show. I'm here to testify to you, Jesus is Lord of every person on earth. You gotta worship somebody. You know, there's an old Bob Dylan song. He says, you gotta serve somebody. Might be the devil, might be the Lord, but you gotta serve somebody. Well, I'm serving the Lord. And you know, you can't really see me. I could be a black man. I could be a Chinese fella. I could be Jewish. I could be Gentile. But you know who I am? I'm just Tex Mars from Fred, Texas. You never heard of Fred, Texas? That's where I was born, little town in East Texas. There's an old, you know, an old joke here in Texas. I slept in comfort between Fred and Alice. See, Fred and Alice are two towns in Texas. I slept in comfort between Fred and Alice. Well, I'm from Fred. Now, if you're going by Fred, don't blink because you probably missed it. I think they might have a, they used to have a, you know, my dad used to own the gas station there in Fred, Texas. He did. But he lost the business because my dad was very kind-hearted. You see, I'm talking to Jerry in our studio here. My dad was very kind-hearted. I'll tell you what happened. He had a gas station and it was like a little food store too. You had milk and bread and stuff like that. And sold gas. And it was back during the Depression. And everybody was poor. And everybody knew that my dad was kind-hearted. They did. And these mothers would come in and fathers. And they would say, Mr. Mars, could we have some milk for our baby at home? We don't have any milk to give our baby. Could we have a quart of milk and could you give it to us on credit? Cause they didn't have any money. They weren't just bums. They were telling the truth. They didn't have any money. It was the Depression, folks. My dad said, well, you can buy it on credit. And they had these little credit books. You've maybe seen, maybe if you're old enough, you remember those little credit, and they have the names of everybody and you just sign for it on credit. You get some bread, get some milk, maybe some flour, cornmeal or whatever. Get it on credit. Well, pretty soon everybody in the town of Fred, you know, had gotten something from my dad and they never paid him back. Now they wanted to, but they didn't have any money. Well, my dad finally told my mom, says, well, I'm off to go bankrupt. I've given out everything we have, kept giving it over and over, and we're not making enough here in the gas business. So he went bankrupt. Yeah, my dad was so kind-hearted. He went bankrupt. Now, some people say that's foolish. That's foolish. Well, maybe so. But I appreciated my dad. He was a good man, a very good man. And by the way, he taught me something important. He taught me that every person on earth was worth something. But some of them was going to go to hell, but they were still worth something if they would just change and become, you know, Jesus people. My dad told me not to hate anybody. My dad said, you don't want to hate anybody. You don't want to hate blacks. You don't want to hate whites. You don't want to hate Chinese people. You don't want to hate Jews. Everybody is just like you and me, he said. Now, sometimes black people would come to that little gas station and my dad would give them some milk, some bread, whatever they needed too. That's the way he was. Now that's the way we are here at Power Prophecy. Whosoever will may come. I'm telling you, friends, Jesus will reward you for not being a racist. That's why I know the World Zionist Congress are liars. They're liars. They call me a notorious anti-Semite. Let me tell you why they call me that. Because I've written a book called Holy Serpent of the Jews. And it exposes the rabbis. Because the rabbis admit in their secret documents and secret books that I've got copies of, they say, yes, our Messiah is the Holy Serpent. We worship the Holy Serpent. That's our God. That's what the rabbis say. That's what Jesus exposed. You have for your religion the traditions of men, Jesus told the Jews. You're a bunch of serpents. Wow. That's what Jesus told the Jews. That's why he told them that. And I put that in my book. Nobody else had the courage. Nobody in the whole world had the courage to say the Holy Serpent of the Jews is their Messiah. I even quoted the most popular rabbi in the world today, Rabbi Yitzhak Ginsburg. Rabbi Ginsburg, he said it. He's the most popular rabbi in the world. He said, our Messiah is the Holy Snake. Don't you think that deserved to be reported? That's Judaism. That's what Judaism is all about. Don't you think that should be reported, friends? I think that is discriminatory. That's evil. Evil personified. That's sick. That's disgusting. I put it in my book. I quoted him directly. Yitzhak Ginsburg, the rabbi. And they said, you're a notorious anti-Semite for telling people the truth. I told people the truth. Well, I guess I just did like my dad. He got punished for being too kind. he gave mothers who had no money to buy during the Great Depression. He owned a little store and he gave them milk and bread and such. Well, he was punished. He lost his little store. But you know, God later gave him a good job. He had a job and he worked at a chemical refinery for 20 some odd years of his life. This last 20 some odd years. He retired there. They gave him the gold watch, you know, like they give people. I don't know if they still do that, but they gave my dad a gold watch for faithful service. He almost never missed work. Boy, he had to be so sick to miss a day of work. And he taught me that too. He taught me that too. That's why even when I'm sick, I'm home writing or studying or something. I get out of bed and trudge over to my desk and work there. Holy Serpent of the Jews, I want you to have that book. It's truth. It's truth. And you'll see why they don't want it out there. You'll see why we're a civil rights organization, because we say that no one is better than someone else. No one is above the law. No one can defy Jesus Christ. He is the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life, Jesus said. No man cometh to the Father but by me. That's what Jesus said. And I say this, you're in trouble if you don't admit to that. You're in trouble. I don't want you to be in trouble. And that's why I've exposed the Jews. By the way, I've exposed the Muslims too. And I exposed 100 other false religions and sects in my book, New Age Religions and Cults. You see, I don't discriminate against the Jews. I expose every devil cult, every devil religion, every one of them I expose. I'm an equal opportunity exposer. That's what we do. We're equal opportunity here. You know, you can order the book, Holy Serpent of the Jews. You can see what they're talking about. They banned my book at Amazon. It doesn't matter to me. They can ban whatever they want, but people are going to read this book. I'm told here that my sales tripled this last month. I'm told right in our ministry that our sales of Holy Serpent of the Jews triple. Amazon did me a favor. They did. They banned my book. Now everybody wants it. Everybody wants to know what Tex Mars wrote in Holy Serpent of the Jews. It's just $20. The book's around 200 pages or so. Holy Serpent of the Jews, $20. Please add $5 for shipping and handling. Send $25. Ask for that book, Holy Serpent of the Jews. And see if I don't tell the truth. You know, check me out. You can go along with the World Zionist Congress. That taxi's a notorious anti-Semite. I'm going to see what he said. But by the time you finish my book, you'll say, wow, he told the truth. And that's why I'm laughing, friends. When you're banned, when you're censored for telling the truth, you're doing all right. I think Jesus is right on my right shoulder here, and he's patting me on the back saying, good job, my servant. And that's what, he's my master. He is, he's my master. And I do what he says. I don't care about the rest of the world. I do what Jesus says. And I'm being rewarded for it. I'm laughing. That's right. I'm laughing at the World Zionist Congress, at Amazon. I'm laughing because I have Jesus on my side. And boy, what a great God I've got. Okay. Our phone number here is 1-800-234-9673. Or you can write to us at Power of Prophecy, 1708 Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733. You can get that book too online at powerofprophecy.com or go to texmars.com, TEXEMARRS.com. Don't misspell it now, okay? All right. Now let's get back to our regular program. Hey, Representative Congressman Steve King, from a Republican from Iowa, said something very interesting. It seems that he defended a tweet made by a Dutch politician named Geert Wilders. Now, here's what Steve King, he's, again, a Republican from Ohio, Iowa, keeps saying, won't say Ohio. Here's what he said. He said that culture and demographics are our destiny. Culture and demographics, says Steve King, congressman from Iowa, are our destiny. He says we cannot restore our civilization with somebody else's babies. He went on to criticize illegal immigration in the United States. He says immigrants, many of them are not assimilating into the American culture. They live in enclaves. They refuse to assimilate into the American culture and civilization. Some embrace it, yes, but many are 2 and 3 generations living in enclaves that are pushing back now and resisting against the assimilation. He says, King emphasized his view that Western civilization is a superior civilization. I would like to see America. He wants to see an America that is unified, that has one culture. This congressman opposes what is called multiculturalism. Now, folks, that's been the biggest thing going. For the last 50 years, the globalists have pushed multiculturalism. But Representative Steve King is opposed to that. Now, I want you to understand, he's not opposed to a certain race. He is multiracial. He doesn't care what race you are in America as long as you fit into this nation's culture. That's important. He doesn't care if you're black. He doesn't care if you're white. He doesn't care if you're Jewish. He doesn't care what you are. But you must fit into America's culture or you're an alien. You can have a green card. You can be here as a new immigrant citizen, but you're still an alien because you have not assimilated into this nation. And we don't agree with your culture. We don't like your Islamic culture. We don't like your Judaism culture. We don't like your Buddhist culture. We're Christians here. Now, I know a lot of you are hostile to religion, but that's just too bad. That's what we are. That's what King said. Culture and demographics are our destiny. He says we need more American babies. He doesn't go for all these Muslim babies coming in because they're not going to assimilate into America. And we're having all kind of problems with Muslims. Now, he's against multiculturalism. You know, back many, many years ago when I was a single man, there was a young pretty girl, and I think she was 22 years old, and I thought she was very pretty. I was going to ask her out, and I said, are you going to school? She said, yes, she went to St. Edward's University here in Austin. She said, I'm getting a degree in multiculturalism. Well, that was the end of it. I didn't go out with her. I didn't want to. I didn't care how pretty she was because I knew her mind would be warped, and I was going to have to do a lot of reprogramming. To get her away from multicultural. She was getting an entire degree in multiculturalism. So they've been teaching this in our universities for a long time. And now, of course, the left-wingers are going nuts. And they're saying that Islam is a wonderful religion. Islam is a great peaceful religion. And, of course, that's a bunch of bunk. They prefer Islam over Christianity. And that's sad. That's sad. Hey, get out the Bible. What did Jesus say and what did Muhammad say? Get out the Holy Quran and compare what Jesus and Muhammad said. What did Jesus say? Love thine enemies. God is love. What does Muhammad say? Commit jihad. Kill your enemies. Wow. Big difference there. I'm not multicultural. I'm not. If you come to America, you want to be one of our citizens, you need to change your culture. I don't want Muslims here. You can be a nice person. You can be a good person. But you can also be a good, nice person over in Syria or Iraq or Iran or Jordan or someplace like that too. But I don't want you here in America. I just don't want you. I don't have anything wrong with your race. If you're an Iranian citizen, and you come to America and you assimilate and then you become a good American, good. But you're not going to be a good American as long as you're Muslim. You're not. You're going to have to believe in Jesus Christ or you're going to be a fake American. You will, because you're going to believe in Sharia law and you're going to do all those dirty, rotten, evil things that the Sharia people do. Come on, folks. In many Muslim countries, if a man rapes a woman, the woman has to marry him because he raped her. Wow. A lot of rapists going around raping women because they, hey, the women has to, woman has to marry them. That's crazy. If the woman is raped, sometimes they're killed by their parents. It's a shame to be raped. What? What? That's insane. Hey, did you know that Jesus is not a man? I got a letter here and I have to laugh about it. Tex, it says, you're so wrong. Jesus is a Jew. He was a Jew when he was on earth, and now he's in heaven as a Jew. Really? Jesus is in heaven as a Jew? Now, folks, listen. When you go to heaven, you're not going to be a Gentile or a Jew or a black or whatever. You're going to be I'm sorry to say it. You're going to be a Jesus man. I'm really not sorry to say it at all. I'm happy about it. Think about it. Jesus is not a man. Jesus is the invisible God. That's what it says. It says in John 1, he's the Word of God. That's right. He is the Word of God. Think about that. Don't try to rob Jesus of his glory. He was uniquely both God and man. You have to understand that. You see, God is a spirit. And Jesus said we must worship him in spirit and in truth. Don't worship him as a man. Worship him in the spirit. When I pray to Jesus, I say, Holy Spirit, I say, Jesus, please let me pray to you in my spirit. You see, I don't want this flesh. I'm going to leave this flesh behind. I am. I'm going to leave it behind. If you like me and you want my flesh, well, you know, you can have it. It's going to be somewhere in a grave site here in Austin, Texas. Did you know there's a rabbi named Yitzhak Ginsburg who's famous? And my good friend Michael Hoffman, in his revisionist history newsletter, wrote about Yitzhak Ginsburg. And it's just by chance that Yitzhak Ginsburg is the rabbi that I quoted in my book, Holy Serpent of the Jews. Now, Yitzhak Ginsburg is a nut. He's a wacko, but he's the most popular rabbi in the world today. He took over from old Rabbi Mendel Schneerson. Mendel Schneerson headed up all of the Jews in California and in New York City, in the Bronx. There's a lot of Jews in the Bronx, New York. Now, according to Hoffman, the New York newspaper, Forward, it's a Zionist newspaper, wrote an article about Yitzhak Ginsburg, and it was entitled, The Kabbalist, or Kabbalist, Who Would Be King of a New Jewish Monarchy. Wow. You see, the Jews are now saying, many of them, that Yitzhak Ginsburg is their new king, Messiah. He's the king of a monarchy. They say that Israel is like a shell today. It's a secular country. But their God, who they know to be the serpent, the holy serpent, is going to designate a Messiah that's a man. And he's going to take over the monarchy of Israel. It's going to be like ancient Israel. They had, you know, King David and King Solomon and so forth. And so Yitzhak Ginsburg is going to be the new king of Israel. Well, Ginsburg is very popular now. Very popular. Now, I quote him in my book, Holy Serpent of the Jews, as explaining to the Jews. He's, by the way, the guy's written 80 booklets and little books and things. He says that the Messiah of the Jews is the holy snake, the holy serpent. You know, and the fact that I would expose this guy, this Kabbalist who would be king of the new Jewish monarchy in Israel, that's what he says, that's what he's going to be. Very soon, they're going to throw out the secular government of Netanyahu and make this guy their king. And the article in the Forward newspaper, it's a Zionist newspaper, talks about the Jews who dance in the streets of Jerusalem And some people stopped him and said, what are y'all dancing for? What are y'all so happy about? And they say, we're dancing for Ginsburg. You know him? They said, he is the rabbi. He is our Messiah King. He is our Messiah. Wow. Now, here's some of the things he believes in. He says, quote, it should be recognized that Jewish blood and a goy, that's Gentile's blood, are not the same. Ooh. Did you hear what? See, I'm opposed to that. That's a bunch of baloney. But here's what he says. It should be recognized that Jewish blood and a goy, a Gentile's blood, are not the same. It is acceptable, he says, to kill a non-Jew and take his liver if a Jew needs a liver transplant. Boy, don't be visiting Israel anytime soon. If they got a hospital there and some Jew needs a liver, they might just carve your liver out and take it. That's what they say here. It's acceptable to kill the non-Jew if a Jew needs your liver. The best goy is a dead one. Hey, didn't some of the white men used to talk about the Indians that way? The best Indian is a dead Indian. Well, this guy says about the Gentiles. The best goy or Gentile is a dead one, says Ginsburg. Now, he wrote a little book to praise Baruch Goldstein. Who's Baruch Goldstein? He's the guy back about 15 years ago who went into a Islamic mosque and massacred 29 Palestinians while they prayed. And Ginsburg called Goldstein, who brought in a automatic rifle and shot these people, 29 people dead while they prayed in a mosque. He says Goldstein was a blessed, heroic man. Boy, this guy's nuts, isn't he? This Yitzhak Ginsburg. And I quote him as saying, the Messiah of the Jews is a holy snake. This guy's a holy snake. This guy's a holy snake. And it's just amazing that my good friend Hoffman sent me, or somebody did, I got it in the mail here, a copy of this newsletter. It's the October-November 2016 newspaper, Revisionist History newsletter, that is. And Hoffman asked, is this the Antichrist, or is he just another bigoted barbarian? Wow. He says the false Messiah of Israel is alive and well on planet Earth. There he is. He could be the Antichrist. Read my book, The Destroyer. You'll know about him. Hey, I wish I had time. I don't have time to get in this weird stuff. Maybe I'll do another program next week. I've got to. You know, my good friend Freeman. Remember Freeman? One time Freeman called me up and said, hey, Tex, can you do me a favor? I'd like to interview you about Codex Magica. So I went down to the studio. He was doing a little program there, and we didn't even prepare. We just sat down and just chatted for about 60 minutes about my book, Codex Magica. But we talked about Britney Spears and Madonna and how they kissed and all kinds of things. And, he did a great little video production of it just in the studio with totally unprepared. And you know, that thing has sold thousands of copies from the ministry here. We still have it, by the way. What's that called, Jerry? The video. Wasn't that one now? Yeah, Codex Magica, the Freeman Perspective. Well, he's on a book now, Weird Stuff. And I tell you, I don't have time today. I wish I did. I'm Tex Mars. It's been great being with you, and my prayer is that you'll be with us each week during this same time. Yes, tune in and discover the power of prophecy.